8 seconds. Jaya was just ahead of her closest pursuer as she angled for the basket, passing the foul line, once again levitating from the polished wooden floor. The Navajo girl reached out as she leapt too, and try as I might, I couldn't see any way that Jaya could get the ball by her. What are you going to do, Jimmy? 5 seconds. If you had asked me what would happen next, I might have given you 100 scenarios, none of which were what actually took place. Jaya passed it off. Knowing that the only other person on the court who could have given the two athletes a run for their money was Misty Two Bears, Jaya dished it off to the right where Two Bears had caught up to them. What do I have to do to end all this shit? 2 seconds. Jaya and the Navajo girl both flew under the backboard. Misty looked at the ball in her hands and allowed her momentum to carry her toward the basket. She dribbled once and then palmed the ball up, where it slid between the rim and the glass backboard with a squeak before rolling on the rim nearly all the way around and then teetering before falling in. Buzzer game. The arena erupted into utter chaos as the fans flooded the court, a sea of people that swept in like an avalanche as the Lady Morningstars jumped up and down, screaming and hugging one another. I looked for Jaya but couldn't see her as a group of players hoisted Misty up onto their shoulders where she hid her face with both hands. Jimmy Lane stood there beside me as more people streamed around us. We stood there like boulders in a river, inevitable and unmoving. What now? We're going to stay here until things start clearing out. I finally spotted Jaya, leaning against the padded support of the basket, her arms wrapped around herself as she smiled up at the lights in the ceiling high above, or maybe it was something else. I don't think you're going to have that luxury, Jimmy. Down below, there were 3 uniformed deputies working against the tide as they made their way toward us, having to leapfrog the bleachers because the walkways were so full. Jimmy saw them and backed up, stepping over a bench and allowing his hand with the .38 to slip out. Aimed at me, the ghost bracelet dangling from his wrist. I could hear a deputy shouting from behind me and was sure they'd drawn their weapons as I stepped between them and the armed man. "Give it up, Jimmy." He shook his head as his eyes teared. "What would you have done?" There was more screaming from behind me as I raised my hands. "Put the gun down." He glanced around, his eyes becoming more fervent as he backed up another row. "They killed my baby girl. They killed her and then hid her where we can't find her." "We'll find her." He continued stumbling back. "Maybe you will, but for me it ends here and now. Jimmy, don't make these guys shoot you. It doesn't matter, don't you get it? It's all coming to an end." He glanced around in a panic. "That thing is out there, and it takes our people and never lets them go, and it's got my daughter, or at least a part of her. Jimmy." His eyes came back to me, and his mouth quivered as he studied me. "Where did you get that scarf?" I said nothing. He screamed at me. "Where did you get that scarf?" The deputies continued yelling, some of them having moved up beside me as I continued to hold my hands above my shoulders. "I got it from your daughter, Jimmy." The gun dropped slowly, and he looked gut-punched. "You saw her?" "I did." "She's alive?" "I don't think so. But she's out there somewhere, and she wants to come home." "Where?" "I honestly don't know, Jimmy, but I saw her." He cried out, "Where?" I tried to think of what to say to the man, but was coming up empty. "I don't know how to describe it, but I saw her in the last hour." I flicked my eyes around us. "She was here." Slowly, the .38 came back up, and the screaming of the officers around me became deafening. "You're going to tell me where my daughter is? I wish I knew, Jimmy, but she's out there, and I'm going to need your help to find her, and that means you can't force these men to shoot you." He slowly shook his head as he looked at the revolver. "It's over. Jimmy, don't. I hope you find her, but I made a deal with the Aveo Tseomus, and now I have to pay up. Who knows if it has my daughter? Maybe I'll find her before you. Jimmy," the deputies continued yelling as I stepped up on the next bench seat and held my hand out to him. I was trying to look him directly in the eyes, but his darted around looking for some way of changing the course of things. "Jimmy, this isn't what Jeannie would have wanted." "Dad!" From the corner of my eye, I could see Jaya being held back by one of the deputies. "Dad, what are you doing? I love you, baby. Don't you ever think I didn't?" Jimmy's hand shook as he took aim at my chest, and I could almost hear the deputies squeezing their collective triggers. The impact pushed him forward as he fell, flopping onto the aluminum bench in front of me. the 38 skittering down the walkway and then falling through the bleachers, disappearing with a clatter. Teresa Unmoon stood over her ex-husband, still holding the folding chair. She pushed her hair back out of her face and then dropped her weapon of choice to the side before raising her hands. "I didn't figure you'd mind if I used that chair one last time."